Please rise. The word of God chosen for our meditation this morning is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So far, text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. During the darkest hours of World War II, Britain faced a critical shortage of silver for its war industries. Churchill asked his advisors if there was any source, however remote, for silver. One of them answered, "There are silver statues of the saints in the churches and cathedrals." "Well," Churchill replied, "put the saints in circulation." Acts chapter 6 tells us that the word of the Lord had so grown in Jerusalem that even many of the priests, leaders in Jesus' murder, had come to faith. That it had grown through that into the territories around there. Jesus gathers us into families so that we can help each other grow in faith. But Jesus also calls us to be witnesses to him, not only in Jerusalem, but also in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Unfortunately, we Christians are also governed by the laws of physics. You remember that a body at rest tends to stay at rest unless. And so Jesus allowed that persecution to begin with the martyrdom of Stephen recorded in the previous chapter of our readings, in order to put the saints in circulation, to spread the silver around and let it shine unto others. The next chapter after our text tells us that as a result, churches, congregations were formed, not only in Judea, but also throughout Galilee and Samaria, in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 12, thus the word of the Lord grew and was multiplied. You know, what an amazing perspective this gives us on the martyrdom of Stephen and any attacks that may come on us because of our confessing Christ. Jesus was ruling through that very martyrdom of Stephen. He's ruling now. Even when he allows attacks to come, he wants to use it for good. To let the light shine, the silver shine for others to see. You know, in the very shadow of death, the eternal life of Christ shines more brightly. "Because I live, you shall live also." In the very fearful guilt that we can feel because of our sins, especially at a time of sickness or trial, the peace of Christ shines more brightly. "Because I paid the penalty of your sins. Your sins have been completely washed away. You are made clean. You have my perfect peace with my Father in heaven." In the darkness of this world's troubles, Christ's protecting love shines more brightly with his promise. "I will work all things for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, that in all things I may bring you to myself in the mansions of heaven." That silver shining through Stephen even sparked a smoldering ember in the heart of Saul. that soon Jesus would set ablaze to shine into the world. Yes, our Savior's shining silver sustained Stephen, faithful even unto death. And it can sustain you and me. So yes, we are to put the saints into circulation and let the silver shine. Yet our flesh doesn't really like persecution. Sometimes we don't even like circulation. Like a partridge that prefers to run along the earth as long as there's an escape, and will fly heavenward only when there is no other escape. So our flesh likes to cling to this earth and to fly heavenward only when we can find no other escape. The friendship of the world would thus pluck our wings with its pleasures and tether us to this earth with a trust in earthly things until we may not even be able any longer to fly to Jesus. Yes, how blessed then are those very persecutions and challenges that force us to dig back into Jesus' word, that move us to cling to Jesus' friendship, that compel us to fly to heaven with every trouble that we face. You know, people have often wondered, I don't know if I could be faithful unto death like Stephen was. But you know what? The very question is looking in the wrong direction. Stephen was looking up past himself and his strength. He was looking up past the stones hurled at him. He was looking up to Jesus, who died for all his sins and yours. He was looking up to Jesus, who arose from the dead to give him and you entry into the heavenly temple of God. He was looking up to Jesus, standing at the right hand of God with all the power of the universe to preserve you as him, faithful unto death. Life is looking up. Our Savior's shining silver sustained Stephen, so he was able to pray, Father, forgive them, and receive my spirit to remain, yes, faithful unto death. Still, though dead, he speaks, and trumpet-tongued proclaim to many a availing land the one availing name. Our Savior's shining silver sustains Stephen, and it can sustain you. So let the silver shine. Put the saints in circulation. We continue with the reading from Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Have you heard of this so-called butterfly effect? It's the idea that a butterfly stirring its wings in Peking causes a storm system in New York. Certainly, small causes can unite together to bring a major effect, but it requires a unifying design, the input of energy, and a conversion mechanism. Since the theory of evolution has not been able to provide a viable mechanism to explain their theory of the origin of life from nothingness, some of them have proposed that the butterfly effect was that means. In other words, random, chaotic dissipations of energy just poof, produce life. Like it might produce a hurricane. That was their comparison. And yet, my observation has rather dramatically suggested that there's just a little bit of difference in the amount of order in a hurricane versus a human being. Moreover, where'd they get the energy from? Starting with nothingness. And though we may not like to admit it, especially when it snowed yesterday, the weather system does have intricate design, energy, and multiple conversion mechanisms. But since evolution has to start with nothingness, it can't provide any of these for their theory of the origin of life. But enough about evolution. Let's talk about a real butterfly effect. When the designer of this universe does provide design, energy, and a conversion mechanism. You heard in our readings that Philip was so busy preaching the gospel in a citywide revival in Samaria that he sent out urgent pleas for other of the apostles and evangelists to come and help him. There's no way then that he would have at that time left to go to the desert of all places, except the Lord stirred his wings, saying, "Go." Meanwhile, the Lord had also stirred some wings way down in Ethiopia, 1,000 miles to the south, so that an Ethiopian eunuch could come all the way up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And he was now returning home, carrying with him a manuscript of Isaiah the prophet to read on the way. What amazing design is evident then in the Lord arranging a divine crossing of paths out in the middle of the desert between this Ethiopian eunuch and Philip the evangelist. And yet even with that miracle, how many of us would have the nerve to come up to this very important government official riding in his chariot and witness to him? But the Spirit stirred Philip to draw near. In doing that, he heard the man reading from Isaiah 53 about the suffering of our Savior. And so he could simply ask, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Lord also provided the conversion mechanism. For Philip told him then about the amazing love of our Savior, who silently and willingly accepted the accusations and the scorn that were unjustly heaped upon him because of our sins. Accepted the grief and agony of being crucified for the sins of the whole world. Accepted the curses and desolation of death instead of you and me. But Philip had also heard the eunuch read these words from Isaiah, "Who can declare his generation?" And so he could explain that, yes, though Jesus died, he came back from death to live eternally. So what man can count the length of his days? Isaiah continues, "The Lord shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall justify many." Yes, Jesus arose for you and me to declare your sins have been forgiven. Everlasting life is yours in Jesus Christ. That eunuch felt the Spirit stirring, and he said, "Look, there's water here. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip responded, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the Ethiopian eunuch confessed, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The designer of the universe, yes, can design, energize, and convert every butterfly stirring into the salvation of a soul. And he's calling you to stir your wings so that thirsty souls may drink deeply of the refreshing rainfall of the gospel. Your sins have been forgiven. Everlasting life has been won for you to give you a place in the mansions of heaven. Yes, we often don't know what to say. But we can ask, "Do you understand the gospel? I'd love to tell you about it." Often we're afraid. But if the Lord can use a butterfly stirring in Ethiopia to bring about a divine path crossing in the middle of the desert, he can take care of you and me. So stir your gospel wings, so that the designer of the universe may indeed design, create, energize, and convert your butterfly stirrings into, yes, divine path crossings and the salvation of souls. Amen. Please arise. The peace of God that passes all understanding should keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.